Hello and welcome to Simply Save podcast from Money Control, a show where we discuss all things money. I'm your host Preeti Kulkarni, and in this edition of Simply Save, we turn our focus to health insurance policies that have turned expensive since the beginning of this month. Health insurance policies have seen a host of changes since October 1st, 2020. All policies renewed post this date have had to comply with IRDAI's standardization of exclusion norms. New products launched after October 1st, 2019 are already compliant. Now, insurers cannot exclude certain ailments such as mental health and congenital conditions anymore, as we've already discussed in our earlier podcast. In addition, they also have to cover modern treatment procedures such as cyberknife, robotic surgeries and stem cell therapy. Definition of pre-existing diseases, which is the source of several disputes between insurers and policyholders, too has been standardized. That is, all insurers will have to abide by the IRDAI mandated definition. This will reduce scope for confusion in policyholders' minds, and it is hoped that it will also reduce scope for disputes going forward. Now, all these changes are certainly welcome from the policyholders' perspective, but they are bound to push up premiums when policies come up for renewal. And in fact, some policyholders have indeed reported exorbitant premium hikes. To understand how these premium increases have panned out and whether policyholders can take any measures to mitigate the impact, we have with us today Abhishek Bondia, Principal Officer and Managing Director of insurance broking firm SecureNow.in. Welcome to the show, Mr. Bondia. It's good to have you here.
Thank you, Preeti. Thank you for having me on your show.
So the IRDAI standardization norms came into effect from October 1st. And since then, some policyholders whose policies came up for renewal have complained of exorbitant premium hikes. In fact, some have reported premium hikes of over 70%. So while we were all expecting hikes to happen after the IRDAI standardization norms, did the quantum of increases take you by surprise?
So, Preeti, this kind of a anecdote is surprising. So you would find a wide variation of experience that the customers may have faced. What happens is that, policyholders also tend to confuse a few things together. If you actually look at rate increase within the same age class, the increase has not been substantial, right? In fact, most insurers have so far not increased their premiums, right? They are expected to. A handful of insurers who have increased the premiums, it has been in the range of 10 to 20%.
Okay. Right?
But what does happen is that in many insurers' case, premiums increase substantially as you move from one age slab to another, right? So yes. Let's say if you were, 45 years old, so you were earlier priced for 36 to 45 age group, right? Now as you become 46 years old, you fall in the next age bracket, which is 46 to say 55. Then the premium increase could be substantial when you move from one age bracket to another. But other than that, so far the price impact of standardization of exclusions has not been substantial and not been across the market.
Okay, and how does it compare to now? Insurers also launched products last year. The newer products that were launched after October 1st, 2019 had to be compliant with these norms as well. So compared to that, what is the kind of, how does the current premium hike for policies that are coming up for renewal compare with last year's hikes?
Preeti, it's a very valid question. However, the variation in price for health insurance is actually quite substantial.
Nope.
Right, and it's very difficult to trigger attribute the price increase or the price variation to a particular event or a particular feature, right? Just to give you an example, right, if you look at Arogya Sanjeevani policy, which is a standard health insurance policy, the other day we were advising a client for a 65-year-old couple, you would notice that one insurer prices the policy at 21,000 rupees for 2 lakh rupees sum assured family floater, and there would be another insurer, a Palisatra insurers, which are otherwise considered to be inexpensive, would price it at 45,000 rupees for the same product, for the same price, for the same age group, right? So the premium variation is between 21,000 to 45,000.
Hmm.
So it is very difficult to attribute a particular event or a, you know, feature, but there is a huge price variation.
Okay. So let's say there hasn't been exorbitant hike for the younger age groups. Have those in the older age groups seen a sharper hike?
So, Preeti, the larger, you know, question is about like an upward trend in price increase, right?
Hmm.
And that age groups are expected to see, you know, sooner or later, right?
Hmm.
And if you notice, over the last year or so, a lot of changes have come to health insurance,
right?
Of course, there's a standardization of exclusions. But then there are standardization of clauses where, for example, now there is a penal interest clause which is added to health insurance. It is, again, customer-friendly. So if the insurer is not able to settle the claim within 30 days after receipt of document, customers are eligible to get penal interest, right? Like that, you know, IRD has also clarified on how the room rent clause is supposed to work, right? So when you look at an aggregation of these clauses, right, it is bound to increase the insurer's outgo. It is extremely customer friendly, right? And as a culmination of this, there would be a price increase across age groups.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
But I think it's a little early, right? Insurers are also seeing the impact of these claims right now. And sooner or later, they will do it, but they will do it gradually is what my sense is.
And besides the standardization norms, has COVID-19 also played a role in heightening risk perceptions and hence the premiums as well? Has that been a contributing factor as well?
You are absolutely, you know, bang on. So COVID-19 has you know, definitely changed the risk perception, right? You know, so far it has not, you know, moved the needle substantially in terms of claims outgo for insurers, right? But it is expected to. Hmm? So if you know, look, see the number of cases which are going for hospitalization, that's limited, right? You know, as compared to the number of cases which are getting treated at home, right? Number one. Number two, what insurers have also done is come up with, you know, standardized rates for COVID treatment. That has impacted the, or that has capped their liability for a claim,
right?
So they are taking preemptive measures to ensure that COVID does not impact their balance sheet substantially, right, or the P&L. But the risk perception is definitely there, right, that it can increase, you know, claims outgo in the coming time, right? But again, I think insurers have not priced it yet, and they're not looking to price in immediately, is the sense I get.
Okay. You also mentioned a lot of health insurance changes, and of course, we discussed standardization as well. Could you elaborate on the kind of changes that could have contributed to this increase in premiums? For example, coverage for mental health issues, coverage for modern methods of treatment like CyberKnife or robotic surgery. So could you elaborate a little on that as well?
Sure. So if you look at the standardization of exclusion guideline that came up, it had you know, four broad categories. Number one, it said, spoke about illnesses which could not be excluded, right? And this included things like internal congenital disease or mental health, right? So, you know, IRD said that you cannot exclude these illnesses, number one. Number two, there was more specificity which was brought into some of the exclusion wording, right? Like pre-existing disease, how do you define it? What are the disease rise waiting periods, right? It has limited impact on premium, right, or claims, but it gives more clarity and more consistency across insurers. The third one is about exclusions which are allowed by insurers, permanent exclusions which insurers can put in at the time of underwriting, right? Again, that is more about you know, clarifying what can be excluded and what can't be, right? And there as well, IRD has said that those exclusions have to be specified at the time of underwriting. Right, so you cannot, you know, have those exclusions as a standard part of your product. But insurers can do it, right, depending upon the kind of cases they underwrite. And the fourth is about allowing modern treatments like oral chemotherapy. Now, if you see across these four, the two clauses which can have the highest premium impact is, number one is about the modern treatment, which are included. And the second one is the first, category where you cannot exclude some illnesses. Now, when you look at modern treatment, whether it is oral chemotherapy or whether it is balloon sinuplasty, now these are not the most frequently claimed illnesses. They were not covered earlier. Now insurers have to cover it, but the claim incidence for these diseases are low.
Okay.
IRD has further allowed insurers to put sub limits for these coverages.
Okay.
Right? So I think several insurers may just resort to putting in sub limits for these covers rather than necessarily increase the price, because then it tends to have an impact on their ability to sell. Right. On the first bucket, which is about illnesses or diseases which are not allowed to be excluded, like mental health, we must recognize that the basic construct of the policy requires 24 hours of hospitalization. So again, for illnesses related to mental health, you do not have too many cases or situations where you require 24 hours of hospitalization or prolonged stay.
Right.
Right. So again, the impact on claims are not expected to be huge. There would be, right? Mm. But it won't lead to like a 70-75% impact like the way you were describing earlier. Right? Mm-hmm. In some cases, insurers may have priced a product or particular age group extremely low, and they may be doing a one-time correction.
Okay.
Right? That may happen, right? But the increase cannot be attributed to stagnation of exclusions per se.
Okay. What can policyholders do at their end to minimize the impact of premium hikes? For example, can younger individuals look at porting to cheaper policies to other insurers?
Of course. I think they must consider the options. As I said, for identical product, right, like Arogya Sanjeevani, you have almost like a 100% variation between two insurers.
Hmm.
Right. It is absolutely the right thing for the policyholder to do, if there is a price increase, to evaluate what is the prevailing price in the market, right, for that kind of sum assured and benefit structure. What I would further advise policyholders to do is look at other plans offered by the same insurer.
Okay.
Right. So you would find a price arbitrage, right? So to say, within different products of the same insurer. Right. So there could be the price difference because of some benefits which the policyholder may not value. Right. So let's say a particular product has high no claim bonus feature versus the other product having an OPD component. So depending upon what is valued by the policyholder more, right, they can choose a plan. But evaluating plans offered by other insurers and by the same insurer is a must for policyholders, right? And they must do that exercise, I would say, every 2-3 years, right, where they make a holistic comparison of the current plan and what's available in the market.
Okay. But for senior citizens, it's not as easy to port, because insurers are not willing to take on such risks. So in that, and they are in particular badly hit in times like these. So what options do they have?
Very valid question again, Preeti. I think with age, definitely, health takes a toll, and that's when you need health insurance more. For senior citizens, I would say, they'll have to find a lot more creative ways of enhancing coverage, right, to keep the budget, in control. For example, when you look at COVID, right, even if you have a standard health insurance plan, right, your sum assured may not be sufficient, right, because what we're hearing about COVID is that A, it takes much more toll on senior citizens, and then the claim amount could just exhaust the sum assured. So in times like these, they should look at supplementary plans, right? So, having a COVID coverage plan, right, to in addition to your existing health insurance plan is advisable, number one. number two option for those senior citizens could be about evaluating a top-up plan. Right? Yes. Top-up plans tend to be significantly more cost-effective. Right? They carry a deductible. So expenses incurred up to the deductible amount is not covered, and anything above that is covered. Senior citizens could, you know, think of taking a slightly lower ticket size kind of plan as a plan, and then evaluate a more cost-effective top-up. The point that you, you know, mentioned about other insurers not be willing to take senior citizens' plan, mm-hmm. That inhibition goes down if you look at lower sum assured.
Okay.
Right? If you look at like a 5 lakh rupees sum assured, then insurers become much more willing. Provided there is no recent history of hospitalization, right? Then it becomes easier, right, for senior citizens to look at plans.
Okay. And how about dedicated senior citizen policies? Would it be easier to buy such products from
yes.
a policyholder's point of view?
Yes, certainly. Certainly, the intent of the senior citizen plan is actually to appeal to this segment, right? So the underwriting norms there are, you know, designed keeping senior citizen in mind. So it's easier to buy those plans. What one has to be careful about and mindful is that those plans tend to have slightly higher co-payment,
hmm.
right? But a significantly lower waiting period, right? So, one has to make a little bit of a trade-off.
Okay.
But if you do not have a health insurance plan and you're not able to get a standard one, you should definitely look at a senior citizen plan, and it could turn out to be highly cost-effective for you.
All right. Thanks a lot for being with us on the show, Mr. Bondia, and thanks a lot for all the insights.
Of course. My pleasure. Thank you so much, Preeti.
With that, it is a wrap of this episode of Simply Save. If you have any suggestions or feedback, you can write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.